This programming sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverenz, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for Morning Air here on this Wednesday. It's Glenn in for John this hour, and we're going to dive right into it as we help you through Advent and the Christmas season. We'll be talking about finding peace in Christmas. Also about evangelizing. We need to do that and some tips on that as well, but getting to the heart of the matter here, the core of the spiritual life, gratitude. Father Pat McGrath, president of Loyola Academy in Wilmette, Illinois, is with us. Father, good morning. Great to have you along.
Good morning, Glenn. Great to hear your voice.
Well, we're talking about something that we need to have not just at the time of Thanksgiving, but every day throughout the year. We're told in all times and all places to give thanks and praise, and talking about gratitude today.
Yeah, it's so nice that we're just coming off this the secular feast, as it were, of Thanksgiving, and at least for a couple of days, folks have this heightened awareness of the things in their lives that they find themselves moved to gratitude for, and it really is. I think it's part of what makes that that holiday so special, because it, at its heart, it has an extraordinary motivation, which is to pause and give thanks. And the proclamation of Thanksgiving Day that was written by Abraham Lincoln when that holiday was begun was he made that proclamation in the midst of the Civil War, and he in the midst of the struggle and the strife and arguably the darkest days in the history of the country, he stepped forward and called the entire country to pause and to be grateful, and specifically to thank God for all that they had and all that they were. And so that American context of gratitude, rooted in the president calling us to be attentive to how God has been active even in the midst of those dark, dark days, is inspirational. And I think for us as Catholics, that's certainly familiar spiritual language and advice. And the older I get and the more I listen to smart people talk about their faith life and learn more about our saints and our spiritual traditions, and specifically to learn more and more about St. Ignatius of Loyola and his spiritual exercises, the more convinced I am that gratitude sits at the heart of the spiritual life. In a sense, it's a primary building block or foundation for any progress in the spiritual life. You know, for Ignatius, sin is in some way a manifestation of a lack of gratitude or ingratitude, because he was so, as all of us are in our more enlightened moments, he was so overwhelmed with the experience of what God had done for him and what God was doing for him, that he came to see sin and sinfulness as those are those moments where I fail to be grateful for what God has done for me. If I were but more aware in my daily life of what God has done for me and is doing for me, I wouldn't be drawn to the sin. I would be drawn to something different. I would be drawn to a more virtuous response. And so for Ignatius, the spiritual life pivots right there, that the start for us is to recognize what God has done for us. It is first an acknowledgement of God's action. It's first an awareness of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and what God is doing for us constantly as God is laboring to bring creation and bring all of us to the fulfillment of the promise of the kingdom. And so I think gratitude then, as a spiritual pathway, starts there. It starts with God. It starts with recognizing the giver of the gifts. And then from there, from that place, from that awareness of what God has done for me, that God has, without any merit of my own, God has saved me. God has created me. God has saved me. God sustains me. God leads me. God daily invites me to a deeper friendship with God, that God is constantly drawing me into deeper relationship and is trying to show me in the course of my day God's very presence and an invitation to live out my life, my vocation in a way that's consonant with God's desires. At the heart of all of that is an awareness of God, and then a movement quite naturally toward gratitude and thankfulness for that. So, yeah, I think for Ignatius and for so many of the great mystics and saints of our tradition, they start there. They recognize that the starting point in the spiritual life is to pay attention and to notice God, and then to be naturally drawn to gratitude. There's that great line from Meister Eckhart, which was, if the only prayer you ever prayed was thanks, it would be sufficient. In other words, the only appropriate prayer that we pray, or the most fundamentally perfect, in some sense, prayer that we pray is, thank you, thank you, thank you. And from that, we're changed. From that awareness and that gratitude, recognizing God's love for us and the ways that it's made known to us, that's where movement in the spiritual life can happen.
As we talk with Father Pat McGrath today on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, talking about gratitude, Father, that can really lead to humility and then the peace that comes from that. I mean, for one, realizing, oh, gee, thanks, all this good stuff for me. I mean, you've taken care of me. Thank you for that. But then the peace of realizing where this comes from, and it's not our own striving that gets us there, but accepting the gift from God, and that can lead to peace.
Oh, I think so. I think that's that quality that we recognize in holy people. It's the quality we recognize in the saints. It's the humility. You know, I once heard humility explained by a spiritual teacher as letting God love me on God's terms. And the sensibility behind that, it seemed to me, was humility is recognizing God at work in my life, and that even in the difficult days, and even in the darker moments, and even in the struggles and the fracture points of my life, God is at work. And to trust that God is at work in all of those things, and to be experienced in all of those things, brings me to a place of great humility. It's to recognize that God is here, that God is active, that the world is in God's hands, and that my place in this is to appreciate it, to engage it, and to live in it. And I think living in that place, and I think your insight, Glenn, is spot on. I think living in that place of humility, a humility that is the result of an awareness of what God is doing, does bring us to a place of peace. It brings us to a place of, you know, for Ignatius, and this is a difficult term because it means different things, I think, in people's minds, but for Ignatius, it's what he would refer to as spiritual indifference, which is not a lack of caring, but it's a sense of holding oneself in balance between all the things of my life if I recognize where God is in all of those things. And so that peacefulness, that balance, that centeredness, that we recognize so frequently in the lives of holy people, is a result of their deep friendship with God. It's a result of a humility that results from being close to God. I suspect that's what happened in those experiences we read about in the Gospels, as people come close to Jesus, or as Jesus makes his way close to people, and especially people who are in great need, that they must have been overwhelmed in that encounter by the fact that Jesus was paying attention to them, and that what they experienced in that exchange and in that relationship with Jesus in that moment drew them to great humility. He's talking to me. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to the wounds of my heart, or he's addressing the physical infirmity that I carry, or he's naming that thing that has pushed me to the edges of the community. And I think that dynamic of Jesus encountering people in the Gospels shows us that humility and that peace that can result from those encounters with Jesus. And the same is true for us. There's the great liberating grace. The same is true for us, that we're invited into that personal connection with Jesus, that we're invited into that relationship, that Jesus is speaking to me, that Jesus is speaking to the wounds of my heart, that Jesus is speaking and inviting me to greater love and service and the living of the mission in the world. So that pathway that we're naming here is familiar, not to say that it's easy, but it's the familiar spiritual path about awareness and then this gratitude and a resulting humility in light of the presence of God and what God is doing for us, and a peace, a centeredness, a balance that can arise as a result of that certainly is a description of a core path, a central spiritual path in our tradition.
Father Pat McGrath is with us as we talk about gratitude being at the core of the spiritual life. That and more. We'll also take a look at the Peace of Christmas, some reflections from Pope Francis, all on the way this hour. We continue next with more of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Have you seen the Confession Helper in the Relevant Radio app? It has resources like an examination of conscience, acts of contrition, prayers before and after confession, and no internet connections needed. Perfect when you're in church for confession. Don't have the Relevant Radio app? It's free in your mobile device's app store. Glenn in for John as we continue with Morning Air this hour here on Relevant Radio. We're talking about something really at the core of spiritual life. Great for this season and year-round, of course, exploring gratitude with Father Pat McGrath. He's president of Loyola Academy in Wilmette, Illinois, and happy to have him along as a regular contributor to Morning Air. That idea of gratitude, it's something we saw a little bit yesterday in Giving Tuesday, something designed to come on the heels of gobbling down all the turkey we can last week, Thursday, and buying up everything in the store on Saturday in the big stores, Friday, and then Saturday in the small stores, and then Monday online. And we finally get around to giving a little bit on Tuesday. But talk about how is it, you know, it's countercultural to, you know, think outside ourselves and to think of giving as opposed to taking. But when we look toward young people and that desire to kind of look for what's fresh and new and be countercultural, here's a great way to do that in a good way, to live a life of more gratitude.
Oh, for sure. And I love that you can do that list of what each day means. I'm impressed, Glenn, from Thursday to Friday to Cyber Monday to Black Friday to now to Giving Tuesday it's something else that this string of days has emerged. But it's a good thing, it seems to me, that so many, especially charitable and nonprofit organizations, have claimed this Tuesday after Thanksgiving every year now to be a day of giving back, of focusing not just on gobbling up presents or other things online or in stores, but opening ourselves up to be a little bit more generous. I think you're right too. We have it within us to be ever more generous. And I, you know, one of the things you notice in young people, and I have the privilege of serving in a secondary school, in a high school, and it's such an important and a formative period of time in a person's life. And when given the opportunity to serve, to give of themselves, not just making donations of money, which is a great thing, but also giving their time and attention to folks in the ways that they serve, the transformative effect of that in a human's life, and in particular for young people. And it's a great grace and a privilege to companion young people as they go through that experience of giving them themselves and watching and accompanying them as they attempt to figure out what has happened there. What is that dynamic that was going on inside of me and through me and to me in the experience of service, in the experience of giving myself? And in supporting kids in those experiences and sharing scripture and praying together and putting Jesus in front of them as a model, they come to that wonderfully liberating truth, which is, when I give of myself, I become myself. It's Jesus's instruction. You know, those who cling to their lives and their talent and their treasure, those who hold on to it tightly are destined to lose it. But the ones that open their hands and their hearts and share who they are and what they have will discover in that exchange that they're getting more than they give, that the more you give, the more you are. And so that fundamental instruction, mandate, invitation of Jesus, that giving of myself, and giving of myself in whatever way that might be, more and more these days, the first invitation I like to push in the school community especially is first give attention. First pay attention to each other. Pay attention to the people around you. We're so distracted, all of us are so distracted, that the dominant culture is a culture of distraction. It's a culture of inundation of data points and information and noise and clicks and bells and whistles and demands on our awareness and our attentiveness. I think when we speak of giving of ourselves, we should start there. It's to see the person next to us. It's to pay attention to what's going on around us. It's to tone down some of the stream of data and noise that's flowing in. And the countercultural movement that you speak of, Glenn, it seems to me, is that. It's that, it's to tone down the buzz and the noise and the clutter, and to tune into that fundamental truth that Jesus is constantly calling us to, which is, hey, today has come to you as an opportunity. Today has come to you as a gift, as an invitation. I'm begging you to experience your life as a gift and to share it and to give it away. And it's that attentiveness, and it's that gratitude, and then finally that movement toward love and action, or charity, or service, or love, where we discover what these teenagers so frequently can discover as a result of service, is that voice of God in the midst of it, that face of Christ in especially those who are most in need, in that to discover this liberating truth, which is, I am the better version of myself when I give of myself. I am making progress with God's help in becoming the person God sent me here to be, to the extent that I can give of myself, that I can pay attention to other people, that I can pay attention in a special way to folks who may seem most in need or ostracized or struggling or suffering today, and then to give, and to give, because in doing that, I receive, and in doing that, I become what God has sent me here to be and asked me to be. And so that pathway, and we laugh at ourselves at times, and we can kick ourselves at times, because we know this path. We know this story. We see the perfect example of it in the life of Jesus. We hear it reiterated time and time again in the Scriptures and when we come together to pray in the Eucharist. And yet, we have it within us to be distracted. We have it within us to forget to pay attention. We have it within us to be attracted to things that aren't ultimately drawing the best out of us. And so, thanks be to God, we have the sacraments and the traditions and the rituals of our church around things like reconciliation that remind us that God keeps calling us back, that God's that father of the prodigal son who stands on the front porch and waits and waits and waits and waits every evening to see us coming over the horizon to make our way back to that embrace. And so much grace in all of that, and that persistent invitation to a deeper gratitude and a deeper service that emerges from that grateful heart.
Father Pat McGrath, as one who works with youth at Loyola Academy in Illinois there, tell us about what it's like when that light bulb moment, when it comes on for a young person realizing it really isn't all about them.
Yeah, it's terrific, and I think it's the reason so many good people get into the vocation and the ministry of working with young people in schools and in parishes and other ways. There's light bulb moments that happen in a classroom when a student learns something, when they recognize a concept that they've been struggling with, or they learn a new idea that intrigues them. But there's that deeper transformative learning that happens when the light bulb goes on in the deepest questions of their purpose. And giving of themselves, loving, opening themselves up in service is one of those ways that you see. And the word, I think, so often is liberation or freedom. Because if you think about it, if you think about how Jesus encounters people in the Gospels, and he never leaves them the same, and he never leaves them in the same place. And so once one has encountered God in Christ in those gospel stories, they're moved. They move somewhere. They're either sent back home to tell the story, or they're sent on the road as an evangelist and a missionary, or they're changed in. The light goes on, and the freedom to take a step in a new direction is clear. And I think that's what we see in our own stumbling, fragile human way when we companion others, and in this case in particular, companioning young people in that encounter with Jesus in love. And when I do that, when I have that experience of service and I give of myself, we believe, we're the audacious Christians who believe that what they're experiencing is the very presence of God, that where that love is shared, that's where God is. And so the light bulb going on is a liberation. It's an opening up. It's sort of an untangling of the web around the heart and the imagination that can lead one to more, to more life, to more compassion, to more generosity, to more mercy. And it is a tremendous grace when we can see that in each other, or we can see it in ourselves. And to be able to lead others there in the work of Catholic schools and in parish life and in all the ways that we can do that, and most essentially in family life, as parents in their vocation can teach that from the first moments of a child's life, what love in action looks like. Those light bulb moments are extraordinary. And I think the only appropriate reaction is to recognize it, to celebrate it, and say thanks be to God that we get to do this together, that we get to be this church and these companions of Jesus together as we're making our way through life. It's a great gift, and Catholic schools are such a hugely important piece of that puzzle for us. And thanks be to God for all those folks, especially those religious sisters for all those years who built through their labors the Catholic school system in this country, and for all the people today, religious and lay and priests and everybody else who's a part of Catholic education. I think it's one of the great arms of evangelization in the life of the church, and at the heart of it is this Jesus encounter, and leading young people and inviting young people to experience their own vocation and their own call and the ways those light bulbs can go off when they learn how to put love into action.
Well, putting love into action is what we're about here at Relevant Radio, and what you're about is, at Loyola Academy. And with about 30 seconds left, any more news on the Ramblers as we head toward the Christmas season you'd like to share at school?
Well, thanks, Lynn. Yeah, it's been a great semester so far. We just, our football team actually lost in the state championship last Saturday, but it's amazing. We've made our trip there a bunch of times in the last few years, and we're grateful for that and all the good things happening here. And this Saturday in the Archdiocese of Chicago is the entrance exam day for all the Catholic high schools. So we'll be opening our doors and welcoming all sorts of 8th graders here to take the entrance exam.
All right, very good. GoRamblers.org for more. Thank you very much. Look forward to talking again soon, Father Pat McGrath. More of Morning Air, looking at reflections from Pope Francis on the peace of Christmas. Next is Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.